Hello. Episode number 23 of the Tampa 2 podcast. That guy over there is Leo. This guy over here, even though you don't have no sense of direction, is Terry.
Yeah, I'm tempted to just like stand up and walk somewhere you didn't point. I could be a jerk like that.
Yeah, well, thanks for not doing that. But we will get started, as always, with the Tampa in 2.
The Tampa in 2.
So, Leo, what's going on with the Magic?
You remember how last week I said that there was no way they could finish with the worst record than the Bobcats and have the worst record in the NBA?
I do recall that.
Yeah, well, that happened. The Bobcats went on a winning streak to end the season, wow. And the Magic did not go on a winning streak to end the season. So they have the worst record in the NBA, which means they have the best chance for the number one pick in the NBA draft. There is still a draft lottery, mm-hmm. So they're not assured the number one pick, but they do have a 25% chance, and
So always looking on the bright side with the Magic. So.
Yeah, yeah, they're set up well for next year in terms of what they're trying to build, because they're not trying to build for very next year. They're trying to build down the road, and they're where they want to be.
All right,
it's whatever.
Well, let's move on to the Lightning.
Still not happy times with the Lightning here.
Nope, four losses in a row. They're playing Montreal tonight, and they extended the contract of Ben Bishop. So that's a good thing. Yeah, keeping his goalkeeper.
He's been playing pretty well. Mm-hmm. And Garon has been backing him up. Lindbach has kind of been the odd man out.
Yeah. Well.
But it'll be interesting to see if Lindbach develops into like a 1-2 with Bishop, and we kind of have two guys who are kind of building in. And because Garon is, you could just go to Canada and just walk down the street and say, "Hey, can you play goalie?" And they're going to be about as good as Garon, which isn't to say awful. But
yeah.
It's not, you know.
Yeah, same kind of thing. So, and then Ray's stuff, kind of frustrating starting off the season. We are 5-9. So we're, you know, still plenty more games down the road, but we do have one of the worst offenses right now.
Yeah.
Our pitching's not, you know, it's pretty decent right now, mm-hmm. Aside from, you know, stupid plays and some umpire mistakes, which, you know, we will shrug off and move on with that.
Yeah.
We still have some hope, you know, plenty more games coming up.
Yeah, but consider this. The MLB season's 162 games long, so we haven't even gotten through the equivalent of, like, one NFL game yet.
Right, yeah.
So if they're able to win tonight, get to 6-9, and then win again and get to 7-9, they're almost 500 through one NFL game worth of play. Mm-hmm. So that's where they need to be, you know, considering that a couple of their better players are still in AAA and will be up eventually.
Right, so. Yeah. All right, so Leo, what's up with the Bucks?
Well, some of it we're going to get into because we will be talking about the NFL draft here in a little bit. There's been no Darrell Revis trade as of yet. And so we've just pretty much been kind of keeping up with that at thepeterplank.com. So definitely go check that out. But nothing really of importance. Warren Sapp is going to announce the second round pick for the Bucks at the draft. But
okay. I mean,
he already works for NFL Network. It's not like they had to bring him in as a special guest or something.
Right.
So.
They just kind of pull him away. Hey, Warren, can you just come over here really quick?
Because they've got a bunch of like Hall of Famers and stuff from other teams doing it. And I mean, he is a Hall of Famer, so that's perfectly fine. But
it's
nothing like special. Like for other teams, it was cool because it's like, oh, this guy that like used to play in like the 60s or whatever. But the Bucks, you know, the Bucks' only really famous player from history, quote unquote, is Leroy Selman, and he's passed away.
Right, yeah.
And then since then, there's been nobody until Sapp and
Warren and Barber.
Yeah, and Barber still plays.
Yeah.
Well, he might still play. That's still undecided, too.
Yeah. Who knows?
We'll keep you up on that. And we learned the schedule today.
Yeah.
Tonight, the NFL schedule is released. So by the time you're hearing this, the NFL schedule is out. So go to the Peter Plank and we'll have it all there for you. And we'll probably have our way too early thoughts on what the win-loss record will be based on the schedule.
Yeah, next week we're definitely going to be just briefly talking about that and giving our thoughts. But definitely check that out if you haven't already done so. Last night, I guess, for you guys listening. So, all right, well, let's move on to our first topic of the show. And it's pretty big one, and NBA playoffs.
Yep.
Anytime there's playoffs, we got to talk about it.
Yes.
So let's just take a couple minutes. Leo, can you kind of paint us a picture? You know, the lineups have already been set. The seed rankings have already been put in place. So what are some of the key matchups, things to look for with the playoffs this
year? Yeah. Magic are not involved, obviously.
Darn.
But the other team from Florida is definitely involved. The Miami Heat had the best record in basketball, And they are the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. And I would say at this point, they are prohibitive favorites to win
the whole enchilada. Yeah, it's funny because like halfway through the year, it was like, yeah, okay, they're going to win. Yeah. I mean, so it's almost like, well, we know they're going to win.
Yeah.
LeBron's hot. Dwayne Wade's hot. It's all good.
Yeah.
They're leading the NBA with their winning record by, you know, what, 10 games or something like that. So we just know we're going to give them the ring. So let's talk about some other drama going on.
Yeah, at this point, that's probably it. The rest of the Eastern Conference is kind of... There are some interesting matchups to where some teams have good matchups against each other. But the main point here is that if you don't want to see the Heat succeed, your only chance of seeing that happen is probably the New York Knicks. And they face a very tough first-round opponent in the Boston Celtics, who are going to have, as always, the referees on their side in the playoffs. They're hurt. They're old. They're not very good. Mm-hmm. But... It's a rivalry, and it's a game where the series where the Celtics could give them a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and I don't want to like dwell on this too much. I mean, obviously we've all heard about the Boston bombings, and so those home games are going to be really emotional.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, but these are two teams that have a lot of history. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of emotion in both cities, but coming right off that, you know, that is going to be on the forefront of a lot of these players' minds.
Yeah, and the fans in particular. It's going to be a crazy environment there in Boston. And so, you know, that makes it difficult for the Knicks. It's definitely going to be a very interesting series, but the Knicks have home court advantage. So if they're able to win the games at home, then that's definitely important. The other two series are really just ugly. Indianapolis, or I guess they're Indiana Pacers, versus Atlanta. The Pacers.
Is anyone going to watch that?
The Pacers play great defense and no offense. And the Hawks have one of the most frustrating players in the NBA in Josh Smith. And really not a lot else. A lot of just boring players besides him. I mean, Al Horford's a very good player at forward and center, but it's just not exciting. That series is not going to be... It's not even really going to be watchable.
No.
Like, if you have other options of stuff to watch at the same time, just watch it, because it's not going to be very good. And then the other one is Brooklyn and Chicago. Chicago plays very boring, particularly without Derrick Rose. And Brooklyn was supposed to be this year's, like, sexy pick, because they went out and signed a bunch of people, and it just hasn't worked out. They've been barely better than they were before. They're just in a really bad conference. So,
right.
I mean, those two series are kind of irrelevant. It's kind of... The only hope is if the Knicks or even the Celtics, I guess, if the Celtics get hot, because they've got veteran guys who can play pretty well. I mean, Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett are both good.
Yeah, so. You can't count them out yet.
But yeah, so the Western Conference is really where it's at.
A lot of good matchups.
Yes. Great
exciting matchups.
Games. Yes. So the number one versus the number eight starts it off with an awesome matchup. It's the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Houston Rockets, which is James Harden returning to play against his old team.
Yeah.
Jeremy Lin, Chandler Parsons, the young Rockets team against the still pretty young Thunder team with Kevin Durant, who set a few, not really records, but like did some exclusive things this year in terms of just how good he was on offense. Russell Westbrook, who when he plays well, he's one of the most exciting players. When he doesn't play well, he's one of the most frustrating players. So it's going to be really, really exciting first round game, and it was all set up by the fact that the Rockets kind of slid for the last couple weeks of the season, allowing the Lakers to get into the playoffs.
I mean, yeah, we'll go on to the next one. San Antonio is the number two seed versus LA Lakers, and that was a team where, of course, all year it's just been, are these guys even going to make it? And there was, you know, probably mid to, you know, the latter half of the season, it was like, there's really no chance of them making it.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, and then a couple weeks ago, it's like, okay, well, they can compete for the 8 seed with the Jazz, and then now they're the 7 seed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been crazy, and that's an interesting matchup for them, because if Dwight Howard remembers that he's Dwight Howard, I mean, Tim Duncan's a perfectly fine defender, but he has no athleticism compared to Dwight Howard. And, you know, if Steve Nash is healthy, Nash versus Parker is a very good point guard matchup. And, I mean, if Nash doesn't play, I mean, Steve Blake has been playing out of his mind the past couple of weeks.
Right.
And that's not something that'll sustain for a long time. But if he can have a couple big games against the Spurs, I mean, you never know. But the Spurs are just so technically good. and the Lakers are just so technically bad on defense that it has to be Dwight Howard doing everything on defense, yeah. and the Spurs will be able to plan around that. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, we'll talk about that matchup a little later on the show.
Yeah.
But let's move on to Golden State, Denver.
Yes, Denver getting the sort of number three seed. This is where the new playoff rules in basketball come into play. But yeah, they're the number three seed because like the Clippers are a division champion, but they didn't finish better than the Nuggets. It's all confusing.
Yeah.
But, so they'll get to host the Warriors. And if you want to watch two teams score the basketball, you want to watch that series.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Curry set the NBA record for most threes in a season for the Warriors this year. They've got Klay Thompson, who can also shoot threes like crazy. They got Harrison Barnes, who can score pretty well. And they've got a couple of decent big men as well. And Andrew Bogut and David Lee. And then you've got the Nuggets, who have lost a couple players to injury, but are still, they've just got so many good role players. There's not really any superstars. There's a couple stars in this one,
right?
But just a bunch of guys who can score.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll really be up and down. Expect games to finish like 120 to 115, things like that. So it'll be really interesting.
So it's almost like the opposite of Indiana-Atlanta. There's like no guys.
Yeah.
But at least they got people that are really excited and they'll be high scoring.
Yeah, so. The two East ones that don't involve the Knicks and Heat are going to be very low scoring. This one in the West and probably Spurs Lakers is going to be high scoring because I feel like the Lakers are going to have to score to try and keep up.
Yeah, that's all they can do.
And so I think that's going to be a pretty high scoring series as well. And then the last series, and this is going to be good mainly because of all the kind of rivalry and emotion that's there between these two teams from past matchups, is the Clippers and the Grizzlies. And this is a contrast in styles. The Clippers like to get up and down. They like to run. They like to do their Lob City stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the Grizzlies want none of that. They wanted to shut you down. They want to grind for 48 minutes and just beat you up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be really interesting to see because Blake Griffin doesn't usually handle getting pushed around very well, and that's what the Grizzlies love to do. But Chris Paul is just a fantastic point guard, and if he's able to get things going for the Clippers, it'll be really interesting to see. If not, then you know this sure. might not be the most exciting one to see if you're not a hardcore basketball fan.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of intrigue in that matchup for sure.
Yeah, unfortunately, I believe that game is going to be on at 10:30. On Saturday on ESPN. So for those of us on the East Coast that would like to kind of tune into that matchup, unless you're going to stay up till midnight or whatever.
Which pretty late on that.
You one. Young kids need to go to bed, you know, get up early for church or whatever you do. So
pretty late.
So any kind of predictions at this point? Like who you see moving on? I mean, I know we're going to talk about some of these games in prediction time, but is there anything like, I mean, do you have the Heat just taking it all? And so really it's just who are they going to be facing?
Yeah, I can't pick against the Heat as much as I want to. And then from the West, it's really tough to pick against the Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the preseason I picked the Nuggets, and I would have probably been more tempted to pick them, but they lost one of their leading scorers, Danilo Gallinari, to an ACL injury coming into the playoffs. So and even their point guard Ty Lawson's been hurt, and that's definitely gonna hamstring them a little bit. So yeah, I mean, it's what I hate to see in college basketball, but in the NBA it's different. I'm gonna pick the number one seeds, and I'm probably gonna say it's gonna be Heat Thunder for the title
again.
Yeah, and I can't really pick against the Heat as much as I want to. So I mean, yeah, that's probably where I'm gonna go with it.
Yeah.
I would say the dark horses, if you can even consider them dark horses, are the Knicks in the East. And the winner of the Clippers and Grizzlies could make a run, but
sure.
I'm not really sold on it. I'm not sold on the Spurs. I don't think that they have the same problem with the Spurs and the Nuggets. They don't have that one guy that you can say this guy's going to just take over and mm-hmm. dominate.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with the Clippers in particular. You got Chris Paul who can definitely do that if need be. So I would say that the Knicks and the Clippers are probably the two teams that have the chance of making noise, even though it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's very likely we're just going to see a rematch of last year's finals. Mm-hmm. So which would still be exciting.
Sure.
I mean, it was great last year. So
yeah, and there's some changed players on those teams that'll make it more interesting. And the Heat are still not going to be able to guard Russell Westbrook. The Thunder aren't going to be able to guard LeBron James. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, let's move on to the draft, like we mentioned in the Tampa 2. So, Leo, we'll just go to you, since you've been following this heavily for the Bucks. But is there any kind of big things coming out? One thing I've noticed, and I think you might agree with this, is that it's not a QB running back sort of draft this year.
No, there's not a lot of offense to be found in this draft, at least at the top. And at least it's skill positions. There are some very good players on the offensive line in this draft. Actually, three of the top eight players are offensive linemen in the NFL draft, depending on who you ask. I mean, they could be three of the top three if you ask certain different experts and things. But Luke Jokel, Eric Fisher, and Lane Johnson of the Oklahoma Sooners are pretty much, they're offensive tackles, and they're all going to be really good offensive tackles in the NFL. They're almost all like sure things. Like, they're going to be good. Just plug them in and let them do their thing, and they're just going to be good.
Yeah.
And then depending on who you ask, Chance Warmack of Alabama is a guard. Guards can be, you can say that they're one of the best players in the draft, but you usually don't spend that high of a pick on them, because it's just not that important of a position. I mean, it is important, but not to the point where you spend that high of a pick. Like, if you think back, you know, there's been times where teams have taken offensive tackles first in the draft, but guards usually don't go that high. And it's just one of those things where it may just be because since nobody picks them high, nobody has to pick them high. Like, it's just the precedent is set. But
sure,
he's one of the better players just because he's just a massive human being who has experience playing at the highest level in college. But I mean, so there are offensive players, but none of them are ones that you're going to ever hear their names called on, you know, SportsCenter for highlights or anything.
Sure.
So, except for Lane Johnson, because he's very athletic, and he could be one of those guys that lines up as the extra offensive lineman and scores a touchdown.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah.
So he is one, because I'm pretty sure he started off as a tight end and just became too big and was too good of a blocker, and so they said, okay, we're going to move you to tackle.
Sure.
And he become very, very good at it. So. Mm-hmm.
So what about those offensive positions? QBs, running backs, kind of like those star, wide receiver even.
Yeah.
What are some of the key names to look out for that might be picked in the first or second round?
Well, Geno Smith is the best quarterback in the draft. And there's rumors that he could go as high as number one, but not really. A lot of people are reporting that it's pretty much a done deal that the Chiefs are going to take Luke Jokel, who's one of those offensive tackles. Mm-hmm. And Geno Smith would then be still probably a top 10 pick, because both the Cardinals and the Bills, in addition to possibly the Jaguars and possibly the Browns, would all consider taking Geno Smith.
They have QB issues, so I mean...
Yeah, and Geno's out of West Virginia. He started off last year pretty good, was a Heisman candidate. Then West Virginia didn't do all that well, and he wasn't perfect. And he's just one of those guys that I feel like he's been pushed up the draft board just because he's the best quarterback. And that doesn't necessarily mean he should be one of the best 10 players, but
he's just one of the only good quarterbacks coming out right now.
Because if you would have asked going into this past season who the best two quarterbacks were, people would probably tell you Tyler Wilson from Arkansas and Matt Barkley from USC.
Mm-hmm.
Barkley did not have a great season. USC had an okay season. Tyler Wilson and Arkansas, they just completely fell off the map because of everything that happened with that program.
Sure.
Personally, I still think that Wilson is the most talented of all these players, just in terms of what he can do, but I don't think he's the most ready to be in the NFL yet.
Mm-hmm.
Of all those guys, you know, I still think that Barkley's probably the one who has the most immediate success, but I think that he's just not a guy that's ever going to be great. I think that Geno Smith could technically become great eventually, but I'm not.
But I mean, he had a pretty up and down season last year as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he threw a ton of touchdowns.
Yeah. But against not very good defense.
Right. So it's kind of hard to judge that.
Yeah, there's not a lot there. And moving on to the other skill positions, the number one wide receiver in the draft, and he's kind of shot up everybody's draft board, is his best wide receiver, Tavon Austin. And so then becomes the question of the chicken and the egg.
Mm.
Who was really the good player here?
Right.
And people are almost all coming to the conclusion now that Austin was really part of the reason that Geno Smith looked so good. Tavon Austin's a very divisive player for me, because I understand that he's probably going to be good in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
but I'm not sure for how long, and I'm not sure in what way, because he's maybe 5'8", 5'7", 5'8", not very big guy.
Yeah.
And in the Big 12, that's fine, because nobody's going to get a hard hit in on him.
Mm-hmm.
But when he comes into the NFL, he's going to go up against guys that are fast enough and strong enough to pop him pretty good. And his main role is kind of playing short passes, because you're not going to throw the ball deep to him unless he's just beat everybody and just running past him. So I'm not really... I don't really see where you get value out of him, except in, like, kick returns and punt returns. And then what you've just got is Devin Hester, who, you know, is great, but teams can plan around that. If you know Tavon Austin is back to kick to receive a kick or a punt, just don't kick it to him.
Right.
And he's got the – because he dodges tackles so well, and he's not awful at catching the ball. He's not great. He's so fast. He's shifty. He changes directions, blah, blah, blah. He runs a really fast 40, but –
It's hard to tell.
Yeah, because, I mean, the number one comparison to him in the NFL is Percy Harvin, who was great until he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the problem with Austin, is he's going to be great until he gets hurt. And he's not the best catcher in the world. And so, like, Bucs fans want him. Josh Freeman's not the most accurate quarterback in the world. And when he misses a lot of times, he misses high. You don't want to miss high to Tavon Austin, because, number one, he's not that tall. And number two, if he's extending his arms out, his little frame is now completely open for a safety to just smack.
Yeah.
And, like, if you're going up against the Bucs, we have two very hard-hitting safeties. And so if Tavon Austin is playing against the Bucs, we're just going to slam into him every time he catches the ball. And that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Vincent Jackson is 6'5", 230, and he gets hurt every year as a wide receiver because they get popped regularly. I mean, that's one of the toughest positions to play in terms of, at any moment, you could just get a hit that's just going to knock you out.
Right.
So, I'm not really sold on him. And then none of the other wide receivers, they all have question marks. Some of them are just awful at, like, understanding the game. Some of them have bad work ethic. Some of them have, you know, just didn't perform even though they should have. Because they're wide receivers. And ultimately, wide receivers are just divas. And they all have some sort of problem, it seems like. Except for, like, Wes Welker. But,
yeah.
And he drops the ball too much.
Right. So... I've heard from a lot of analysts that this is probably one of the worst, you know, draft classes in a long time. Would you agree with that?
I think the top is. I don't think the whole thing is.
Okay.
And here's why. I feel like this draft has a lot of guys who could go on to be pretty good. But they're not guys that you'd want to take with a high pick and just say, come in and be the player that we need.
Mm-hmm.
Today there was some news that came out because Mike Mayock of NFL Network put out or did a conference call, and he was talking about his draft prospects. And he said that DJ Hayden from Houston was his number one corner, which totally shocked everybody, because everybody, including myself, just from what I had heard, and, you know, I don't really do a ton of scouting, but had like four or five guys ahead of him. But he had been climbing up the boards. His situation is, number one, he went to Houston, which is not a huge, huge program. And number two, he actually suffered an injury in practice that actually severed an artery in his heart.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's a condition that, like, 95% of the time people die from it because you just lose too much blood.
Sure.
And he's just had an absolutely insane recovery from it. Like... He was released from the hospital like five times faster than most people. He was out doing athletic activities way faster than people. He's been medically cleared. And so then you look for other weaknesses on him, and you don't really see any other than he played at Houston and he didn't play against a lot of guys, but he was really good. And so that's kind of the thing here, is that no one's really sure who the best players are, but there's a lot of people who feel very strongly about a lot of guys.
Mm-hmm.
There are guys who are going to go in the second round that are good players. Mm-hmm. There are guys who are going to go in the third round who may be good players. You've got a guy like Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger from LSU. He was a very good player a couple years ago. He had a ton of issues, and now he's coming out into the draft. He could turn out to be the best player in the draft, and he might not get taken until the fourth or fifth round. So it's just one of those things where the top of the draft is not very good. But if you go back and look at the top of the drafts that were very good, a lot of times they really weren't.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those years that I feel like it could be a big surprise that there's going to be a lot of guys that we're going to look back at this year and be like, that was a really good value. That was a really good, really good pick.
A lot of sleepers, it seems like.
And a lot of guys that there's no sure thing. There's no Andrew Luck.
Right. Yeah.
And
definitely not this year.
And, but then going back, I mean, you could say the same thing about a few other guys. I mean, people thought that they're, you know, well, you've got Tim Couch and then you've got a bunch of other guys. Turned out that that really wasn't true. Tim Couch wasn't really that great. Right.
Well, I mean, it definitely seems like it'll be an exciting watch to see, even, you know, right down the line, who, you know, the first couple teams are going to pick. Because, I mean, across the board, there's no analyst or there's no, you know, mock draft that's saying, yeah, this is, it's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all like this. I mean, they're some of them are kind of all over the place.
Yeah. And the interesting things are is that there's still so many question marks about guys that they just keep moving up and down. I mean, you've got the NFL mock drafts pulled up here from NFL.com. Mm-hmm. And Sharif Floyd is going number 3 to a bunch of teams. I'm not even kidding you. A couple months ago, he was not even a first round pick for most people. And Star Latulalai out of Utah was up there, but he's the one who we mentioned before who had the heart condition.
Right.
And so he's slidden down to the point where he's not even showing up, you know, on the top 10 here. You have to go down to, for what most people think, either the Bucks or the Panthers taking him. And, you know, a guy like Xavier Rhodes out of Florida State, he wasn't a first-round pick a couple weeks ago. And now there's some people who are having look-at-me moments to say he's the best cornerback in the draft. So it's a lot of people who the scouts and the experts get to sit down and they get to watch film and they just kind of are changing their minds and they're not really sure, which could mean that there's just a lot of guys who have very good skills and could turn into good NFL players. It could also mean that there's just not a lot of very good guys, but
yeah,
I'm inclined to believe that there are some pretty good players. So
yeah, for sure.
And I'm excited to see how it turns out. Starts next Thursday night. So definitely be on the lookout for that. You'll want to watch. It does kind of drag on a little bit because all the teams take, you know, a good amount of time to make sure that they, you know, explore all their options. But
sure.
But definitely check it out Thursday night, Friday night, and then all day Saturday. The draft will be going, so check that out.
So two quick questions. What network do you prefer to watch it on? ESPN, NFL?
NFL.
NFL? Okay. Yeah.
And I don't even like all the guys on NFL. I just... ESPN has some of the most annoying personalities that, I mean, I don't even mind Mel Kiper that much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't like him, but I don't mind him that much. It's just some of the other guys that they bring out. It's awful.
You just prefer NFL.
And yeah, I mean, I don't really like Mayock with NFL, but he's okay. But it's just, you know, you're going to get Rich Eisen, who's one of the better guys, opposed to Berman, who's awful. And Berman just gets progressively more mad as the draft goes on because people, like the camera guys, will miss the switches and the cues. Mm-hmm. And he just gets so mad about that. That, like, you'll hear him, like, grumble about it all the time. Like, they'll switch to, like, you know, an interview with a player and they won't turn his mic off. And you can't really tell what he's saying, but he'll just be like, like, he'll be taking his microphone off and just complaining. And he's just awful.
So let me, okay, another question really quick. With the Bucks, can we see something with Darrell Revis happen before their 13th pick? Do you think something could happen at the last second?
I don't think at the last second. And here's why. Darrell Revis is coming off of an ACL injury. And unless they had already worked him out and given him physical, they're not going to make a trade with that pick because if they tentatively agree to a trade and let the Jets make a pick with that pick, and then afterwards he fails his physical or something else hits a snag, they have to take whoever the Jets drafted. Mm-hmm. And that becomes their draft pick. And then you can't trade those guys once you've drafted them.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bucks would get stuck with the Jets draft pick, and that's the nightmare scenario. So they had actually set today as a deadline, according to someone at the Tampa Bay Times, to make the trade, which doesn't mean that we'll learn about it today. But if they came to the agreement today and they said, okay, Jets, whatever you want, take it. Now we're going to meet with Revis. Now we're going to work him out. Now we're going to let our doctors check him out. Now we're going to talk to him about money. You know, we might not find out about it until later. But honestly, I'm over it.
you just wanted to go away.
I'm okay with him never showing up in Tampa except as an opposing player every once in a while. So.
All right, fair enough. All right, well, so definitely catch that. I'm going to be watching for sure Thursday night. So tune in. Let us know what you think. If you like the picks. If there's anything that you, any commentary you want to provide, Leo will be doing a live blog, I guess, with the pewter planks.
So. Yeah, I'll be tweeting and putting up articles, you know, about everything that happens. I don't know so much about live blog. I might get one of the staff to do that.
But. All right. Well, let's move on to the last segment of the show.
This has been a bad segment lately.
Well, we'll make it quick and painless, Leo.
Yeah.
All right. So to recap last week.
It's never really painless.
I'm sorry, man. Not really, because I'm doing well.
It's ever since the Super Bowl. That was like the beginning of the end for me.
Yeah. All right. Well, last week we had a couple really good matchups and games. Of course, last week was the Masters. Took very interesting turn. Pretty dramatic Masters.
Yeah.
Most dramatic one I've remember in the last couple of years.
It's pretty good.
Basically, we just decided, you know, would it be a repeat champion or a non-champion to win? Of course, it was, refresh my memory, Leo.
Adam Scott,
thank you. Australia.
And Angel Cabrera, who was a previous champion, which meant that we had a playoff to decide which one of us would be right. And, of course, the bounces fell Terry's way. So
it did. So the non-champ from Australia won that. And we'd also picked, you know, who we thought would win. You said Tiger Woods. I said Rory McIlroy. Didn't really work out that way. Although Tiger did pretty well. But
Tiger probably should have won. The penalty thing was stupid. But
it was.
That'll be a discussion for another day, because we will eventually get to talking about officials and technology and reviews and stuff in sport, and that is at the forefront of that discussion.
Huge.
So
and then so I get the W for that one. The next game was Rangers versus Islanders. Rangers took that 1-0. And Leo and I both picked the Islanders, so unfortunately we get a loss there in the column. And then finally we had Atlanta at Washington, baseball. And so Atlanta continuing their win streak. What is it, 10 in a row now?
Yeah, something crazy. Yeah. They've been on fire.
And they swept Washington 3-0 in their series. So I'd predicted that Atlanta would take 2-1. And Leo, you picked Washington 2-1, which, you know, wasn't necessarily a bad pick. They're at home, and Washington's a good team, but you can't beat their streak they're on right now. So. Yeah. So let's bring in Hal to recap the overall totals for us.
Terry continues to pull away from Leo with a win-loss record of 35-32, and Leo slips back to 31-36.
All right, let's move on to this week. And like we mentioned earlier, NBA playoffs coming up, so we are going to do something a little different. We're going to pick 3 NBA playoff games. Game 1, which all the game 1s are going to be happening this weekend, Saturday or Sunday, at various times. So we got 3 specific ones. And Leo, why don't you explain to the listeners exactly how we're going to do this?
Okay, we've done this a little bit before, but we're going to do it again because the NBA playoffs, you know, particularly the first round, the teams aren't exactly evenly matched. So we're going to pick against the spread, which is to say you're not picking the team who you think is going to win. You're picking the team who is going to... You're going to pick whether or not the favorited team is going to cover the point spread, basically. Mm-hmm. For all of these games, there's going to be a favorite team and then an amount that they will supposedly win by. And you just have to pick them if you think they're going to do that and cover that, or the other team if you think that the other team is going to win, or if they're going to be within that point range.
Sure.
So, you know, for instance, if it was the Magic by 2... And, you know, it was the Bobcats versus the Magic, and the line was Magic by 2. And you thought that the Magic were going to win, but by 1, you would pick the Bobcats because they would be covering the spread. Mm. So we will pick all of these games like that because they're a little lopsided on a couple of them, but still intriguing matchups. So
definitely.
The first one is going to be the Boston Celtics at the New York Knicks. We mentioned this earlier. Very interesting game. The Knicks are favored by 7.5. So, this game, like I said, Saturday, April 20th, 3:30 on ABC. Big time matchup there. So I'll go ahead and pick first. I'm actually going to take the Celtics to cover. I don't think that they're going to win, but I'll say 101-98 that the Knicks will win, but that will mean the Celtics will cover because they'll be within that 7.5 points.
Okay.
So
I will disagree with you. I think the Knicks are just... Carmelo's going to keep on his point streak. I just don't think with Boston's age that they'll be able to handle that. because Carmelo likes to hog the ball, and he's, you know, he won the point title, scoring title this year. So I'm going to say that the Knicks will. How do you tell me the lingo again? You'll surpass the spread or something?
Well, cover the you'll either pick the Knicks to cover the spread. I guess you can
cover
like giving the points.
Yeah,
or you would pick the underdog team to upset.
Right. Well, I think the Knicks will definitely beat them more by 7.5, which is what they have the odds makers. Having them beating the Celtics by. So I will say Knicks 106-95. So.
All right. And then the next game is going to be the Memphis Grizzlies at the Los Angeles Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
And the Clippers, being the home team, have a 4.5-point spread in this one. So, Terry, who you got?
I think this will be a closer game. I think Memphis, if I remember correctly, is first in points allowed. So, and like you were saying earlier, they're just a physical team.
Mm-hmm.
Blake Griffin just likes to dunk all day, which I don't know if he'll get a chance to do. But I do think they'll win, but they won't cover the spread. So I will say Clippers 97-94.
All right. So essentially you're picking a Grizzlies,
right.
a Grizzlies cover, sort
right.
of like I did, that the Grizzlies will beat the spread there. I'm actually going to pick the Clippers to win pretty handily. They just won their first division title. They won their most games ever as a franchise. They're playing a home playoff game to start off the playoffs. I think they're just going to come out with a lot of emotion and play really well. So I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with Clippers 107, Memphis 98.
All right. Well, good deal. And the last one, kind of the battle of the broken and bruised almost.
Yeah.
Los Angeles Lakers at San Antonio Spurs. This will be Sunday, 3:30. You can catch it on ABC. The odds makers have San Antonio by 8.5, so definitely the largest margin of these three games. But I'm going to say that San Antonio will not be able to cover that. So I'm going to go with the Lakers for the odds. But the totals, I'm still having the Spurs winning the game 98-93.
And this is going to be an interesting week of predictions, because I'm actually going to go against you again on this one.
All right.
I am going to pick the Spurs to win very handily.
Okay.
And this is probably going to surprise you, and I'll definitely earn my bonus points if I get this one exactly right. I want to say Spurs 117, Lakers 85.
Holy cow!
Yeah, I think that the Spurs are just going to put on an absolute clinic against them and just show them all of their shortcomings. And that may mean the Lakers adjust well enough to win the next game, but for at least this first game, I think that the Spurs are going to put on a show.
So. Yeah, but the Spurs are on like a three-game losing streak. They've kind of slid.
Yeah, they've been sitting Kobe's, some guys. Yeah. They're kind of hurt, but they've still got Tony Parker. They've still got Tim Duncan. They've still got Kawhi Leonard. They've still got Danny Green. They've got the guys that they need. And the Lakers, I just really don't think that they're that good. And when they're playing in L.A., they'll probably get some calls their way. But in San Antonio, they're not going to get
calls. Hey, fair enough. It definitely will be interesting. This is where you will make up Your points for sure.
Yeah, I'll need to, yeah.
All right. Well, that will do it for us, guys. Thanks for listening. Check us out at Tampa2Podcast.com. Rate, comment. We want to hear from you. Twitter at Tampa2Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see you next week.
Adios.
Thanks for listening to the Tampa 2 Podcast. You can get all the episodes on iTunes. Follow the Tampa 2 on Twitter and check out www.tampa2podcast.com.